Unafraid Show, Reister Wrong, it's your boy George Reister in the building, coming to you guys on a late night tonight. Sorry about being a little tardy, but, you know, things happen, trying out a whole new system, and, you know, it just wouldn't let me be great. So, but we have a bunch of new features coming up for you guys on Unafraid Show that we're going to be rolling out, which are going to be absolutely awesome. But tonight is a special podcast. Special live stream, special podcast. We're going to be talking about Jim Leavitt, what's going on with him at Oregon, why is he leaving, all of this stuff. I got theories, I got thoughts, and I got a little bit of insider information as well. So here is where we'll start, okay? You guys, make sure you guys send in your questions. I will get to them. Here's where we'll start, though. We will start with... news broke. I think Matthew Prim was the first person to, from Duck Insider, to say that Jim Leavitt was actually officially out today. And I tweeted about it. I was like, okay, that was a little bit of disturbing news simply because of the timing. And also just the fact that we've heard rumblings about this for a while. Like that Jim Leavitt and Mario Cristobal haven't necessarily had the best relationship. A lot of people have commented on it, not just me. I mean, it's just been rumbling around the news for a long time. So where did this start? Where did it come from? And what's up next? Here is what we know, is that Matthew Prim and various other outlets have said that that Jim Leavitt is gone. But at the same time, we learned that he was in the middle of a meeting, that the staff was having a meeting all together, and he was in the meeting. Don't know whether it was talking about him leaving or what, but he was actually in the meeting. So that's what we've heard. That's what we know. So is he officially gone? Well, the school says that he was at work working. That's what the school said when people commented, when people asked him about it, about the Freedom of Information Act, all of these things. They said he was at work working. Don't know whether he was working cleaning out his desk or whether he was actually working. So that's one of the things. The other thing is, so why would he leave? Like, what is the problem? Like, what is the problem? Things seem to be going well. I, for one, was just starting to get at a little bit of peace about the program again. The turmoil had stopped. Stability was happening. Okay, I was cool. And, you know, you figure that Mario Cristobal is an adult, been around the block. Leavitt has been around the block. So have a bunch of the other coaches. So you think that they're natural human beings. So, of course, they have some differences. But you would think that, okay, they'll be able to work them out. They'll be able to figure them out. Here is what we know. Here is what we know about Jim Leavitt. Here is what we know about the Ducks and the whole situation to begin with. So we got to rewind to when Willie Taggart was the coach. Willie Taggart leaves. Rob Mullins and the whole staff, they tried to keep Willie Taggart. He left anyway, thank goodness. But when he left, they had to decide who was going to be the head coach. Obviously, the natural candidates were to see if Chris Peterson would potentially move. Harsin from Boise State. Former Oregon Duck Justin Wilcox is doing a great job at Cal right now. Those were the top guys, right? So, and then there is, oh yeah, I love Helenas. I was just there. It's amazing. So those were the top guys that they were considering interviewing. But the players wanted Cristobal, all of this stuff. He blew them away in the interview. They gave him, 4 years, $12.5 million. And who was left out in the cold was Jim Leavitt. And people thought Jim Leavitt was going to go down to Florida State with Willie Taggart, but he didn't. They threw a boatload of money at him, making $1.7 million. Like, he's one of the highest paid coordinators in the entire country. I think he's top six or eight in the entire country. So why would he leave? Here is where the theory comes in. You guys tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm right. Tell me what you think about it. Send in your comments. So here's the thing. Why would Jim Leavitt leave Oregon? We know he was upset he didn't get the head coaching job, but he's been around the block. I think he's 62. So you know that you have to, get down with the program, get down with the head coach, and, you know, kind of fall in line. So you would think, because he's been so many places, that that would be a normal thing, right? Okay, so here is the theory. Tell me if this makes sense. Jim Leavitt has two more years on his contract at $1.7 million each. So, and his contract is guaranteed. That's $3.4 million that he will be walking away from if he leaves the University of Oregon. And mind you, this is a point in time of year where most jobs are filled. So if he leaves the University of Oregon, leaves $3.4 million. I'm a person who likes my money, and I know you guys are out there like your money too. So is there any chance that I'm breaking down the question about whether he got fired, quit, or terminated with cause. Is there any chance that any of you would leave a job that owed you $3.4 million? Would you leave that job voluntarily? Unless you had another job lined up, which we have not heard about yet. The answer to that is a resounding no. So that's the first thing we have to pay attention to. The second thing that we have to pay attention to is, did Oregon fire Jim Leavitt, if he's even gone? The answer to that is no. I would be shocked. There's about a 0% chance that Oregon fired Jim Leavitt because they would owe him $3.4 million. They will pay $3.4 million to let a head coach walk away. They paid Helfrich, what, $10, $11 million to walk away and not work. You're not paying $3.4 million to an assistant to walk away. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, okay, was he terminated for cause? Over Jim Leavitt's history, he had the incidents, I think, at FIU or wherever he was. And so, yes, he's fortunate to still be coaching, because if this were social media age now, no, he would not still be coaching necessarily. So the question is, was he fired for cause? Like what? He's 62, he drinks Pepsi. I mean, and he hasn't necessarily been on a recruiting trail, because you haven't seen pictures of him, recruits, any of that. So he hasn't been on a recruiting trail. So that's, it was South Florida, not FIU. So the question is, did he get fired for cause? That is very unlikely as well. So that brings us back to the first point, which brings us back to this point. Where could Jim Leavitt go at this point in time if he left voluntarily? Because we were pretty sure the school didn't fire him. Where could he go? There's a job probably opening up at the University of Florida. Todd Grantham is interviewing for the Cincinnati Bengals for their defensive coordinator job. So think about this. If you're Jim Leavitt, you and Cristobal aren't getting along. No simpatico. Florida job potentially is opening up. You're going to make probably well over $1 million again. Maybe not 1.7, but you might be happy again. Am I the only one that thinks that's not far-fetched? That it's not far-fetched for Jim Leavitt to leave Oregon to go to Florida voluntarily? Because aside from that, like, I can't see any scenario where he leaves Oregon. Because most of the coordinator positions are filled now. That if they fired him, they would have to pay him. So here's what I actually think is happening. Whether Grantham actually stays at Florida or whether he takes the Cincinnati Bengals job, either way, here's what I believe is happening. I believe that in that staff meeting today, that there was a come to Jesus moment. I believe that there were some people in Portland, particularly Beaverton, maybe Phil Knight, maybe Kilkenny, on the phone. Because, yes, if the Ducks, if Leavitt is gone for whatever reason, they would have to get the blessing of the Kilkennys, probably Phil Knight, other people who would be taking up the slack, paying that $3.4 million. And then Keith Hayward would assume the defensive coordinator position. Think about that. Think about that. He would assume the defensive coordinator position. And what is his first game? Because Jim Leavitt's a good in-game caller. They were short on talent this year. They had a ton of injuries on the defensive end. So that would make Keith Hayward's first game as defensive coordinator, assuming that he's going to be the defensive coordinator if Jim Leavitt's gone, against Auburn. What? I mean, that's a hell of a break-in right there, buddy. That is a hell of a way to start as defensive coordinator. But here's what I've learned. I've talked to people around the program that they like Keith Hayward. They believe in him, and they believe that he has all the makings of being a good defensive coordinator. So, but yes, it's scary when there's change, when there's turmoil, especially with what's been happening in the last 3 years. And if you're a Ducks fan, this has to terrify you. It absolutely has to terrify you because you're like, hold up, what's going on? The timing of this and how is this going to impact recruiting? Because we saw with the women's softball team, coach leaves, what happens? Recruits start bailing out. Lose eight or nine transfers, all Pac-12 players, all of that. Think about this. So, but I don't believe that would happen where kids would start transferring because, like I said before, Leavitt hadn't been on the recruiting trail and there are reports that they had been keeping him away from recruits. Because when he was interviewing for head coaching jobs and all that stuff, he wasn't necessarily recruiting on the necessarily putting Oregon in a positive light. That's what we hear. But, you know, that's a little bit of hearsay because we don't know because we weren't in those recruiting households. But, you know, those are the rumors. I'll get to a couple comments that came in. A lot of people aren't necessarily upset because they're like, Oregon was eighth in the Pac-12 in defense, 29 points given up a game. At the end of the season, the Ducks gave up a ton of points. But a lot of that, I believe, came from a lot of injuries. The linebackers weren't very deep. Secondary still... like there's a couple spots that are shored up at safety and with Holland and 15, he's good too at corner. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm having a brain fart. But yeah. So that's where I think that things are headed. Let me see who else had a comment that came in and I will get to those because I want to know how you guys feel about it. Are you guys excited? Are you guys nervous? And why do you believe that Jim Leavitt is actually leaving? Because I believe that we are actually that there's more to this story that is to be told because this comes down to a financial issue because the Ducks can't fire him and he's not going to just walk out the door and leave $3.4 million on the table without another job. Like that doesn't even make sense. Yeah, Diamondo Lenore. He's not just going to walk out of the door. I mean, that would be insanity. He loves buying Pepsi. That would be some damn craziness. Like, nobody's that damn silly. Let me look at the Twitter comments. Someone asked about the players. How did the players feel about it? Here is what I've heard about the players, that they just want the drama to end, that they want, you know, that they want to have some stability. They want to know who the coaches are going to be. They don't want to have tension because it's visible tension at times between Cristobal and Leavitt. This is known. This is not me breaking news. I mean, you can, Canzano, Prim, everybody else will tell you the same thing. Someone said the Michigan State game, Hayward put in, Anderson left OSU, and I think he was going, maybe going to be demoted. Oh, that you think that Jim Leavitt was going to be demoted, that they were going to pay him $1.7 million to be an assistant coach? Maybe. But guess what? If you're him, you take it. You're not leaving $3.4 million. I don't care how much your pride is in the way. You're just going to say, listen, I'm just going to be a good soldier. I'm going to show up to work. I'm not going out recruiting the way that you recruiting every weekend like you guys want me to. But I'm going to show up and cash my checks, buddy, because I'm a great soldier. That's the kind of thing that happens. Nobody's walking away from that. I believe that Jim Leavitt was upset that he didn't get the head coaching job, which is natural. But this is not the first head coaching job that he's been passed up for. I think that he's a good coach. I think that he's got a good history in terms of like coaching talent, developing talent, and all that. Because if you notice, the Oregon defense has gotten better over the last 2 years. And I do believe that him being hired, and then you got to understand how Cristobal got the job as well. Think about this. It only makes sense that when Cristobal was hired, he hadn't been a head coach since he was at FIU, FAU. He hasn't been a head coach since then. They weren't really sure. They wanted a bigger name. Players wanted him. So what did Oregon do? They wanted to make sure that they kept some of the staff around. They wanted to make sure they kept Leavitt, who was a stabilizing factor, make sure you keep the defense together. They were able to salvage the recruiting class. So then what do? So then you throw a bag of money at Leavitt to get him to stay, because in coaching, just like in sports, respect, even though he didn't get the head coaching job, respect is reflected in your check. People can tell you they respect you, but people want to be shown. Just like you want to be shown at your job, if they respect you, they'll pay you more. Attaboy and a pat on the back ain't going to do it, especially when you don't get what you want. Would his pride have let him leave? Would Leavitt's pride let him leave Oregon? No. I know nobody's pride that is big enough when you enjoy coaching to walk away from $3.4 million when you have that same thing. That's a great point. There are two great points I'm going to get to. One from Tahoe and another one from Nate's son. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Nate Peter's son. He said it's a shame the athletic director, Mullins, who I do like, didn't listen to the players when it came to Mike White, the softball coach. Listen, that has been, I've been talking about that on Twitter. That's been just awful, awful for Duck fans, awful for the program, like the people in the city who support women's softball. It's what, the second most successful program on campus over the last few years, only behind track. Like, that's how successful the softball program has been, in the College World Series every single year, been in the national championship. I think they lost to Alabama 2-1. They've been in the Final Four a few times. Like the program is doing very well. So to then see it crumbled, yeah, that really does hurt. That really does hurt. Nah, I don't think that Mullins has to go, because if you think about Mullins' track record, he hired White, who was a good softball coach, but then he let him leave. Hired Dana Altman, who's doing a fantastic job with the basketball team. If it weren't for injuries to Wooten, Bowl, and everybody else. And he hired Kelly Graves for the women's basketball program, which is doing fantastic as well. Next question up. Next comment. It said Leavitt's family never moved to town and he wasn't planning on putting down roots in Eugene. 100%. nobody ever thought he was. Like, everybody thought that he would either get, like, the Kansas State job this year, especially since Snyder stepped down. They thought he could get, I mean, like, the Colorado job, potentially. I thought he was going to get a head coaching job, just like everybody else. But he didn't. And that would have solved a lot of the problems that were going on behind the scenes if he were just able to get up and walk out the door. You know what I mean? A comment from Mike Chaffee about, there's an article that John Wilner put out. He writes great articles on the Pac-12. You guys, he writes for the Mercury News. If you don't follow him on Twitter, it's at John Wilner, J-O-N-W-I-L-N-E-R. He's absolutely fabulous covering the Pac-12. And he was talking about the, it kind of like took what I was talking about the struggles of the Pac-12, and took it even to another level about the revenue, that the schools aren't really getting the amount of revenue that they thought that they were going to be getting from Pac-12 Network. Yeah, and it's just like they have just butchered the whole network. They're crippling the conference in terms of revenue and all of that. He's got a great article up. You guys go check that out. Great question. Why do we think that no press comments have been made about Jim Leavitt? I think it's clear because it's not final. I think that Florida's job has something to do with it, whether Todd Grantham leaves or not. Some reports are saying he's staying at Florida. Some saying he's maybe going to Cincinnati. So I think that's one of the things. And I don't think that it's done. I think there are a lot of people in Portland, Beaverton in particular, that there are a lot of people in the city of Eugene who are influential boosters, that they're trying to get this situation worked out because they don't want a breakup like this. They're afraid of what it could do to recruiting, even though I don't think players are going to enter the transfer portal. But I do think that it looks like your situation is unstable. You know, like it looks like it's unstable. And you don't want that. And you don't want that at all. Your program looking unstable. Next question up. So they said they couldn't believe that he didn't get the Kansas State job. Kansas State, any of those jobs. I mean, like, that was very surprising as well. I mean, so Jim. Oh, and then the next question is, what happened with. What happened with Jim Leavitt at South Florida? So Jim Leavitt, he got into it with this player named Joel Miller. And Joel Miller, so he got into it and ended up hitting him. Like, I don't know all the details that went into it. However, he ended up hitting a player, which obviously is no good. Like, it's no good at all. And, like, doing something like that, it is never going to get you a job. I mean, never going to get you a job. But he also interfered with South Florida's investigation of the situation. He tried to get people to lie or something like that. So that's why. So that's what happened to him in South Florida. I asked a question about the press conference. Football record predictions for next year. Whoo. Okay. There is literally one thing that is going to make or break Oregon's season for 2019. Literally one thing. That is the offense. The offense. That is the only thing. Because if you notice, Oregon's offense this year got progressively worse as the season went on, as the competition continued to get better. After the Washington game, after Penei Sewell went down, and I can't, like, I will lend some credence to that they had some injuries on the offensive line. However, the better coach you are, you find ways to protect, especially when you have a top-tier quarterback. You got a wide receiver who's going to the NFL. that's not a good excuse. It's not a good excuse. So if Oregon's offense can get back into like the 35 to 39 point range per game, that's where the team needs to live. At least 35 to 39 points per game. They can get there. You can be looking at a 10-2 season. But everything is going to hinge on that Auburn game. Like if anybody thinks that Herbert can win the national champion, I mean, Herbert can win the Heisman Trophy, Oregon will even be in the mix for the national championship. They have to win that first game at Auburn. Well, it might as well be at Auburn. It's in Texas. That is the key. So the team could go anywhere from what they went this year at 9-4 to, you know, an 12-1 season. Anywhere in between there. That's what I think. The legalities of the thing. Yeah, I don't think that there are any legalities in it, because unless something, if Leavitt were getting fired for cause, we would have heard about it by now. Who's up? Who's the next defensive coordinator? Next defensive coordinator looks like Keith Hayward, who was promoted to co-defensive coordinator. But the reality is this, is how would you, well, there's always the chance that Oregon could pull a rabbit out of the hat and find another coach, but it's so late in the game. It's so late in the game that they would have to pay buyouts to get another top-tier coach. See what I'm saying? Somebody says Snyder got to die first, right? No, Snyder left Kansas State. They have a new coach now. How do I feel about the last three hires? Which one? I appreciate you guys who love to watch me play. I appreciate it. Could Leavitt be bluffing for more paper? Zero chance. I mean, there's no bluff. He's already making $1.7 million, and it's not like the defense was in the top 10 last year. They faltered as the season went along, but I do think that some of that falls on the offense as well, because the offense kept putting him in bad positions, wasn't getting first downs, like the Arizona game, the Washington State game, like... Yes, the defense didn't play well, but your offense just absolutely just tanks you as well. Speaking of Alioti, I did just see Nick Alioti not too long ago. He's a good dude, personal friend still, like him, great coach. So I think that we have everything covered, guys. So we talked about why Jim Leavitt is leaving, why who will be up next if he does leave. I think that this story is going to play out over the next couple days. We know that the coaches don't necessarily have a great relationship, but we're talking about a dude in his late 40s or 50s and a dude in his 60s. They should be able to find a way to get along. Yes, Leavitt did have a good relationship with the players. The players like Jim Leavitt. It's just a matter of whether the coaches... whether the coaches, you know, can find a way to coexist, which they should. They're freaking grownups. Do any of the kids transfer? I can't see any of the kids transferring, because Leavitt didn't recruit them like that. Like, not many of the kids are at Oregon because Jim Leavitt is there. Like, in terms of any of the new recruits, the players love them. But they also don't like the tension in the building and all of this stuff. And these are the things, because I was just talking to another coach about this, because I asked a coach about this, an NFL coach. I said, so how do you handle things if you don't like the person that you work with? And he said, just like any other job, what do you do if you don't like your coworker? You kind of stay away from them. You kind of don't bother them. But at the end of the day, you're a professional. So the head coach makes the rules. And you have to follow the head coach's rules, even if you don't like them. So Jim Leavitt is 62. Like, it doesn't make sense for him to be a saboteur. You see what I'm saying? Like, that wouldn't even make sense. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. You make it work when you have to. What percentage-wise do you think Leavitt was 100% committed to Oregon? No. I don't think he was 100% committed to Oregon. He made it known. It was in his contract. He wanted to be a head coach. I mean, this idea that coaches are supposed to be 100% committed to your program. The only person that you really, truly want 100% committed to your program are, number one, your head coach. Because he's the stability and he's the thing that allows everything to continue moving. You want him to be 100% committed because you don't want a whole lot of turnover at head coach. And then you want Kenny Farr, the equipment manager. And then your trainers like Chief. Those are the people that you want 100% committed to your program. You actually want, think about this. Look at Alabama and Nick Saban. They have so much turnover every single year on their coaching staff because they're winning. If you are winning, your coaches are going to get more jobs. And you want them to have ambitions to go and do more. For your wide receiver coach, he wants to be a head coach. Your quality control guy, he eventually wants to be a head coach. Look at Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee. He was at Alabama. He was a runner. Ended up being a head coach at Tennessee. You want them to have ambitions, but you want your head coach to stay. That's the only person that needs to be 100% committed to your program. Somebody said, what about Anthony Trucks? I think Anthony Trucks is just getting ready for the next American Ninja Warrior. He's a good dude. I appreciate you guys joining me today. This is Unafraid Show, George Reister here. You guys make sure you like the feed, share the free feed, tell a friend about the Unafraid Show. And we have a Oregon Ducks podcast coming in the mix. That way you guys know when it comes up, download it, tell a friend about it. And, and visit unafraidshow.com. I'll actually repost on my Twitter tonight the article I wrote about the Pac-12 and the changes that need to be made. And then go read John Wilner's article. It's really good as well. Yep. Oh, my God. Listen. I would absolutely love if Oregon brought Peter Sermon back. That would be as defensive coordinator. So if Jim Leavitt does leave, ding, 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 that's your guy. That's the guy you go after, Peter Sermon. I'm telling you, he's next up on the books. You guys, peace out. Maybe Haloti. Yeah, we could bring him back and play defensive line. That would be amazing. No, I do not live in Oregon. I just live very close in their hearts. You guys, peace out. Have a good night.